Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
I'm going to invite Matt and Amber. Are you both coming up? Matt and Amber Price, they are global workers in Thailand. They are home for a little visit, and they were going to be in the area, so we've invited them to come and to share. So I'm going to turn it over to them and take it away.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, so we think it's been about 3 years since we were here, because we had come just before we moved to Thailand, and we're almost at the three-year mark in Thailand, so that's how we're tracking. What do I want to say first? One, this church holds a special place in our heart. Two, no, we don't say that to every single church that we go to, because we're not those people. But really, actually, this church is one of the very first churches to ever look at us and say, hey, we believe in you guys. We believe in what you're up to. Before our time in Thailand, we had moved to Central Europe. And so we literally got married and 6 months later moved to Europe. No, we don't recommend getting married and then changing your life so drastically, but it's what we did. And when we were young and inexperienced, you guys looked at us and said, yeah, we're willing to partner with you. And not a lot of people were. And so honestly, not in a please love me, but in a genuine thank you, hi, yes, we're grateful for you guys. And we remain grateful because here we are 12 years later, and we're still, you still love us. So thanks for that too. It means a lot. We've lost some hair and we've added some kids in the process. We won't tell you which is which there. And so we'll talk about that in just a second. The one thing I want to say in defense of myself here, because I think I'm wearing a suit jacket and nobody else is because yesterday we were going to go to a wedding in Victoria. That was the thing that was in a Havis in the area. But nature and water decided that we would not be attending that wedding yesterday. And so I know, right? We went shopping instead. It worked out. We're here. It's fine. But I brought this suit jacket from Thailand, and there was no way. We go back on Tuesday, and I'm like, I'm wearing this. At some point, it came from Asia, and I am wearing this. So if you think I'm overdressed, I don't care. I brought the suit jacket from Asia, and I am wearing it. So there, that's that. Do you want to say hi?
Nope,
terrified, okay.
So this is Ren. She's our newest addition. And we have two other children who are not here. They are with my mom in Abbotsford.
Show those guys on the screen.
Do a picture of them. So Daxon is he's 7.5. Zala is almost 6. And then we have Ren Baby, who just had her birthday on Friday. So she is 1. Oh, my. And so, like Matthew said, we moved to Thailand 3 years ago, and it has been an epic journey and adventure. We count ourselves really privileged to be there. It is not an easy place. There's a lot of connection between this congregation and Thailand. Many of you have been. And I have actually served there as well. It's an incredible place. It's a difficult place to serve. The spiritual climate in Thailand is difficult. But we believe that God has us there with purpose and that he's doing something there. So thank you for sending us. If you want to flip to the next one. So this is just a little bit about Thailand. 70 million people. It was never colonized, and this is important because you really don't see a lot of influence from the rest of the world there. Thailand is very Thai. Even level of English is one of the lowest in Southeast Asia because there's no colonization that happened there. As a member of ASEAN, it's interesting because English has been declared as the language of ASEAN is, for those of you that don't know, it's essentially like the EU, but of Asia. And so the language of business is English. And so there's incredible opportunities for us there. 94% Muslim, 5% Islam, Islamic, which is in the, 94% Buddhist. 5% Islamic, which is concentrated in the south of Thailand on the border with Malaysia. And then 1% Christian and other. And there have been missionaries in Thailand for 600 years. And to be at 1% is still kind of mind-boggling. It's really, really hard ground. And the Buddhist mindset is very, especially in Thailand, very accepting of other beliefs, and they are able to just like absorb them in. And so truly, a laying down of that and an acceptance of Christ is a very difficult thing to do. And I believe that's why it's still so low.
Do the switch. Swap. Rotate. All right, so if we hit that next slide. All right, so we want to give special tribute. Where did you guys actually sit? I see now. Okay, you're behind the light. So you guys, you sent us a family, and that was pretty exciting. So the Robertsons came, and they were very gracious because they allowed us to throw them in with a team full of teenagers. So we're like, hey, there's this group of 15-year-olds from Ottawa you don't know, and you're going to live together for 10 days. And it went really, really well. And so we're very grateful to Matt and Monique and to the kids for a few different reasons. One, there are times that as parents overseas, we struggle between if we're doing this with our kids or if we've done this to our kids. And it sounds kind of quaint and anecdotal, but there are definitely times where, like, you didn't get a choice in this. We feel like this is what God is asking us to do, and now you're doing it with us, whether you want to or not. And so, one, for us as parents, it was awesome to be able to sit and chat and just be able to be like, so, parenting, other places in the world, how's that going? It was like a really good thing for our souls, because we looked at these other people who were like, you know what? We live in a beautiful valley, and now we're going to try to take our kids to other parts of the world, and to see that value lived out in other people as well was really encouraging to us as parents, so we're grateful for that part. And we can flip to the next slide, too, because we've got lots of pictures of you guys. I had a hard time picking out which ones. Their example of being willing to be kind in really practical ways. So they brought a bunch of balls, and we didn't like ask them for this, but they were willing to give them away and play games. And it's amazing when you can't speak the same language how actions and activities speak so much more. And actually, this migrant school, we were going to do a big English camp there, but the headmaster was killed in a motorcycle accident just before we were going to be there. And so instead, we went and we were able to like just play with the students. And in the midst of tragedy, for literally these people that are stateless, not welcomed by the government, like a hard life, genuinely hard, to be able to go and have some fun, I think is a really huge gift. And then I think I threw one more picture in. I'm not sure. I did. Oh, I've got two more. Now I remember. Matt was willing to put his doctoring skills to use and do some checks, and I'll talk about this when I talk about our Child Care Plus kids, but literally willing to like jump in, and Monique, because she's a wonderful teacher, and now we can go to that next picture, willing to teach with her teaching skills there as well. And why that was significant to us is because Bangkok is the most touristed city in the world. 38 million tourists last year. That's more than Canada coming through Bangkok. And then Thailand as a whole, tourism is a huge thing. So we've had a lot of people come through Thailand and they're like, hey, we're here for a beach, but you know, as we blow through, could you just, you know, show us a temple or could you just take us shopping? And that's great. And like, believe me, it's a fascinating history and the shopping, amazing. I'm not a shopper. I don't know why I did that. It is amazing though. So there you go. You have it on a reliable source. The heavy sales pitch there. It's awesome. And yet they were willing to come and say, hey, like these are the skills, the experiences that we bring to give their vacation time and for their kids to be like flexible on school and some of those things. It's awesome. And so thanks for having quality people as part of your community and thanks for sharing them with us. And now that I'm done putting a spotlight on you guys, you can hate me afterwards for for doing that to you. But we're incredibly grateful and we remain grateful. So thank you guys personally as well. All right, now we'll keep trucking. So if you go to the next slide, we're going to talk about the things that we do. But before we talk about that, I want to give two kind of disclaimers, or not even disclaimers, but precursors to that. First is that the things that we do are an extension of you guys. And so I see this cool little global clock thing. One, there's a form of accountability. We want you to know that the money that you give, because you earn that, you work for that, you choose to invest that, and we're grateful for that. We want you to know where it goes. We want you to know how it's used. That's important to us, so that you don't just think you're funding Matthew and Amber's mango and sticky rice eating adventure. Which is also great, but that's not what you guys are about. And so to know that the DNA of what you value is being transferred to other places in the world, that's important to us that you guys know that. So as we talk about the things that we're doing, I want you to feel that sense of ownership, because I believe that's genuine, and we believe that you are a part of that. Missions giving is not a necessary evil for churches. We're like, oh, we have to fund missionaries, so I guess we'll try to find ones that aren't so bad. It's not that, and in the same way, we don't look at you of like, well, we need someone to send us a check. We're in this together. It really is partnership. It really is two ways. We need folks in Canada representing God well, impacting communities well. And you guys are that for us, and so thank you. And by extension, we're that for you over there. We're a global church. We succeed or we fail together. And so as we're talking about the stuff that we do, please keep in mind this is the stuff that you're doing too. That's important. Switch.
So ISM stands for Impact School of Mission. And Impact School of Mission was started a number of years ago by a woman named Sandra McIntosh, who is now living in Ottawa. And she was connected with a bunch of charities and NGOs and global workers working in Southeast Asia who all had lots of people wanting to come and volunteer, but didn't have the capacity to train them. And so volunteers were coming, and sometimes it was maybe more work than it was help. And so she said, do you know what? I really feel like God is calling me to train people to then volunteer with all of these organizations. So she started ISM, and I am currently co-directing it alongside Nicole Stockley, who is another global worker. And something that I have been passionate about for a long, long time is leadership development and seeing young people raised up and released into what God has called them to do. And it's been amazing to me over the years how God has knit my passion together with Matthew's passion and calling and allowed us to be in places where we can both really walk that out and thrive. So Impact School of Mission runs twice a year. It's a 30-day crash course intensive in how to serve, personal development, discipleship, cultural training, all of these things, so that these young people, young adults, 18 to 30-year-olds, can then go on to internships around Southeast Asia and serve in a way that is helpful and healthy for the organizations they go to serve, and vice versa, that it is a life-expanding, you know, horizon broadening, really life altering experience. So this is something that I'm passionate about. And what's been really interesting for Matthew and I is over the last 3 years since we moved to Thailand, we have become increasingly passionate about the Canadian church. And neither of us feel called to like move back here and become pastors or anything like that. But it's been incredible how, as God has like grown our heart for that, how he has allowed us to have a way to pour back into the Canadian church. So when I have young adults come and work with me for a month, like it's we go deep really, really quickly. When you're pushed way, way, way outside of your comfort zone, it's amazing what God can do in these young people's lives. So that's what I get to do. It's a huge privilege and honor. It's a lot of work, but it's really, really fun. And we see the impact all over Southeast Asia, not only just in Bangkok. So if you are a young adult, or you know a young adult who is really wanting to have an experience like this, or feels a call to mission but hasn't had a chance to experience it yet, please come talk to me, because this is a very unique experience. It's different from a short-term missions trip where it's kind of like 10 days of go, 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 go. This experience is really a lot more like what it is like to live long-term as a global worker. And where you really experience what it's like to leave everything and live somewhere else and what that fully means. So please come talk to me. It's what I love. It's what I'm passionate about. Pardon me?
Beautiful picture of
the— Oh, there's a picture. Oh, yes, this is my last group. So we had a couple from the UK, and the rest are all Canadians. There's even one Newfie in there from Packet, which is a very small, small town. So this is our group last time around, and they're all serving around Southeast Asia currently.
You sure you don't want to say anything?
Nope.
She's convinced. All right. Sure. Okay, we'll swap now. All right, so if we go to the next one, and then... Oh, Amber, this is you, but you're already down there. Okay, so two quick things is that Amber being so passionate about leadership development in Thailand, there's the Thailand Pentecostal Seminary, so there at the bottom, and it is one of the only vocational training centers for people that want to be in ministry in all of Thailand. At one point in time, all these different mission agencies, the Swedes, the Americans, the Finnish, all opened up Bible colleges, the Canadians as well, to try to train Thai Christian leaders. And since then, all those other institutions have actually closed. And so Thailand Pentecostal Seminary is one of the only ones left in Thailand. And so Amber's on the board there and working really hard to see the students there who are Laotian, who are Thai, some mix of others in there as well, but really like trained to go into ministry. It's something that we need a lot of, and yet we're not seeing a lot of traction with. And so the Bible College is a big part of that. And then also ISM operates out of the Bible College. So we're trying to bring, not just have like the foreigners over here and the Thais over here and never the two shall meet, but really working together more that way. The other thing there is the Thai field. So in Thailand, we have a number of global workers from the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, which is our sending organization. And so we try to operate not in lockstep with one another, but have some kind of coordination, strategy, cohesive understanding of what's happening in the country. And so that involves a lead team. And so Amber's on the lead team as well. So we're talking everything from leading a discipleship program to being on the board of a Bible college to also being on the lead team for all the global workers in the country. And that's just her mat leave. So, I mean, she's doing well. She's awesome. So anyways, there's that as well. Moving on. So this is where I get to step in. So for Amber and I, the big thing that governs a lot of what we do is two words. It's elevate and alleviate. We believe that God elevates. He brings us up as individuals, as families, as married couples, as societies, as a species. Literally, like, he brings us up. The Bible is just a record of God doing good things for humans to provide a better way. He elevates us. And so we believe that God brings us up, and our work should do the same for everybody that we're in contact with. The other thing that we believe God does quite strongly is alleviate. He alleviates suffering, physical and spiritual. And so when people ask, like, why do you do what you do? Well, because we believe God elevates and he alleviates. What are we passionate about? Well, for Amber, that's leadership development. And how she's doing that? Well, we just talk through those things. For me, it's relief and development. I really, when you look at the idea of, do we talk about the gospel or we do things that show the gospel? I struggle being on this end of things. I actually need to be better with being on this end of things, because where my heart goes is like, listen, if you're hungry, I want to see you fed. And I believe you'll experience Jesus that way. And so I work with ERTO, which is the humanitarian arm of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And we have a sponsorship program that's in 28 countries around the world, and that's called Child Care Plus. So if we flip to the next one, in Thailand, we have almost 600 sponsored children in 20 communities in the north, the northeast, and the center of Thailand. There are 17 program managers, site leaders who are in these communities. And I don't mean that in a superficial way. I mean, like, you walk through some of the slums where we've got sponsored kids, and they're like, oh, hey, Susan, it's so good to see you. I was looking for your cousin, Mark. Nobody's named Susan or Mark in Thailand, but, you know, it's relevant. And you know, all this, oh, I was looking the other day for them. How's their ankle? I heard they hurt their ankle. Like, you can tell the relationships that this team has. They're amazing for it. It's not some distant, nameless, faceless kind of thing. It's real community, real connection. I won't lie to you. On some level, I find sponsorship a little bit difficult because it always requires money to come outside of the community into the community as a way forward. And I don't want us to be the foreign saviors. I find that concept a really big challenge. However, because Child Care Plus, the primary point of sponsorship is education. You can't deny the numbers. When you are looking at generational poverty, the dad grew up in the subsistence farming, and now the son is going to grow up subsistence farming, and now the grandson will grow up subsistence farming, just barely getting by, generation after generation after generation. You want to do something about that? It involves education. Absolutely involves education. And so for that reason, I can get behind sponsorship as a model, because I believe that through education, we can see people access something better. Thailand has one of the greatest wealth disparities on the planet. The rich, because there's rich people in Thailand, are like crazy rich Asians. They are insanely rich. And then the gap between then the next level economically is huge. It's massive. And I believe that education is a key part of breaking that. So Child Care Plus, we've got two coordinators who help me with all things admin and training and resourcing. And my dream really in the coming year is to see a lead team created, so it's not just about me. I want to see that reflect our regional differences. I want to really invest in our program managers, because I feel like if you invest in those that you're working with, you'll see that go across the board. And for them, like, Thailand is so hierarchical. If you've ever had any exposure to an Asian culture, where unless you're like 60 and have a title, they're like, why are you here? When I'm like, hey, I'm 35 and I'm like running this program, you know, a team of 19, almost 600 kids, all these communities. And the Thai's response is not the Canadian one, where Canadians are like, wow, that's so, we've glamorized young leaders. Thai's are like, do your mom and dad know what you're doing? Do they know where you are right now? It's not impressive to them at all. And so I want to invest in our leaders, because I think that that's one of the key things I can do right now is the man-child that I am trying to lead. And the other thing is there's some huge socioeconomic challenges in Thailand, one of the biggest centers for human trafficking, a whole bunch of stuff that comes along with that and sex tourism. We are in all these communities, and it doesn't necessarily mean that our sponsored kids are directly impacted by that, but we have a relational network that covers most of Thailand, and I believe that we can do something with that. And at the end of the day, all this is done with Christian leaders. Attending church is not mandatory. You don't have to be a Christian to be sponsored. That's not the point. Come to Jesus or else is not the point of sponsorship. But it is a way to tangibly invest in families and children and communities and future, knowing that it'll point people back to Jesus, which resonates well with me. And then we work with pastors and churches, so everybody has a local point of contact. So if sponsorship is something you're interested in, come and talk to me after. If you're feeling guilty and you feel like you can buy your guilt out of it, you can keep your guilt money. I don't want it. Because guilt money, 3 months from now, when like bills are due and you're like, oh, what do? Guilt money cancels sponsorship, and I don't want to do that to kids. But if you really feel like you and God and this is something you want to tackle, I'd love to talk to you about that. But if it's just like, oh, kids are adorable, I don't want it. So don't do that to my admin team. It's more processing than it's worth. It's good. Okay, next picture. So just quickly, we go right through to age 18 or high school graduation. Depending on the region, it seems to differ on whether kids finish high school or not. No offense to my teenage friends here in the front, but nobody thinks teenagers are cute. Nobody's like, hey, I'm enamored by the teenagers working their way through high school. Like, they'll walk up to my daughter, who's one, and be like, oh, you're so sweet. When's the last time anybody tried to pinch your cheeks or, you know, like, tell you how adorable? I don't want to know, actually. You know what? You keep that story to yourself. I don't want to know what that look was for. It matters. Because we need to move beyond just what pulls on our heartstrings to be able to tell people we're going to walk something through to completion with you. And then kids, students, they can also apply to post-secondary as well. This is not emotional giving. This is strategic giving, a belief that we can help be part of something better. So here's a group of the teenagers. These guys are up in Khon Ken in the northeast. I'm in the middle, in case you couldn't pick me out in the crowd there. I believe in these guys so much. They're not as adorable as the little wee ones, but they're on the threshold of something great, and I want to walk that through with them, absolutely. So we've got teenagers. The other person I want to show you, she's actually a million years old, so we can flip to the next picture. She just looks like she's a million. So the northern part of Thailand is filled with hill tribes. Different ethnic groups that some have registered identities, some don't. It's a totally different world up there. If you ever have the chance to go and meet some of the hill tribe folks in northern Thailand, it's beautiful countryside filled with beautiful people. And it's just a really wonderful part of the country that I have quite a soft spot for. Anyways, this village, their tribe is Lahu. I can't speak anything there. We speak in Thai, and hopefully it all works out. We've got translators that help us out. And if you see there, the pastor is the guy kind of in the back with me, but this lady in the front, she's the one I really want to celebrate. So missionaries came to her village when she was a little girl, and she can remembers them coming, and her mom and dad were some of the only people in her village to be like, yeah, I think Christ is the way. I'm on board with that. They began to follow Christ. And since then, not much has changed in their village. And so they found this other pastor who lives in Chiang Mai, the big city about 2 hours away. And they're like, you know, we want to see something happen in our community. We need to see people connected to Jesus. And so they came to Child Care Plus and they said, what if we started working with children in this community as a way of starting to build relationships to show that, you know, God isn't just some foreign concept, but is a real and present part of their lives. And so we started a Child Care Plus program in this community. And so people from that church in Chiang Mai drive out every week to be a part of that. And so as the kids started to have more and more questions about God, this grandma was like, they need a church. Like, we definitely need to have a church. And so we're like, okay, well, what are we going to do in this, you know, remote village? And she's like, well, my house is on a big plot of land, so we could probably fit a church, like, in the front corner of my piece of land. And so we're standing in her church, and you can see it's just bamboo. It's got Christmas tinsel all year round. It's just, you know, we bring the sparkle all the time. And she's just so pragmatic of like, God loves me, I love my community, I think that kids are part of the way forward. You know, they have all these questions, we probably should get them a church, I'm going to build them a church. It's just, like, you look at her and I'm like, you're just this little, like, 100 and something year old church planter. And I'm just blown away. And when I talk with her, she's like, I don't get why this is so impressive to you. People need Jesus. And so I'm like A to B to C. She's like, what's the miraculous part here? And I'm like, I'm a terrible Christian. That's clearly what this is. Like, you're just amazing. You're amazing. And I share her story for two reasons. One, you realize it's not Amber and I. It's not a story about us. We're a face that maybe you recognize. We're a language that you can understand readily. But the reality is there are superheroes on the ground, heroes of the faith, not celebrities, heroes. You might never know their names. You might never meet them, but they are true heroes of the faith. And if we can help link you to them and vice versa, then that's a wonderful role for us. Two, I want you to understand that there's a level of intimidation that comes in working in Thailand. 600 years, 1% Christian. Thais are friendly, oh my goodness, the food is wonderful. Palm trees, like, it's, when people are like, oh man, that's rough, I'm like, yeah, you're buried in snow. Like, most of Canada's frozen. Palm trees, like, I think I'm winning. Like, I think I'm doing okay, really. But the reality is, the spiritual reality of Thailand is intense, and we've experienced that in a very present way. And so to know that there are our ladies, you know, out in remote villages, places that you'll probably never get to, who are being like, yep, Christ in me, and as I walk this out, I take Christ with me. It's an important thing for you to know, because again, we're a global church. We rise and we fall together. All right, next, we want to be in touch with you. We actually mean that. This isn't like the Christian, like, I'll pray for you as a way of getting out of conversation. We actually do want to hear from you. And so if you, we have a blog, so you can check that out. If you are on social media, if you don't know what those symbols mean, then you're not on social media, and that's okay. But for those of you who are, you understand readily, and that's fantastic. And then we also do just a monthly email update. And so if you want, at that little table out there, we have a little sign up, and you can just throw down your email address, and we'll be in touch that way. Please don't let it be one way. Please don't let it be the Matthew and Amber show. That's boring for us, and it's not what we want from you. We want to hear from you of how we can pray for you. We want to hear what's going on in your communities. We are trusting you to be Christ here. We literally have family here. Hi, Wolf. Like, we have family in this community, and so it matters to us about how you're doing. In the same way that you are trusting us, we are trusting you. Fair warning, full disclosure, I have trust issues, and so I need you guys to be the best representation of Christ that you possibly can be. No jokes, no punchline. Be Christ to your community. Please, be Christ to your community. We need that from you. We absolutely need that from you. Vancouver Island needs that from you. So thanks for being that. All right, I want to share one last photo. It'll change your life. It's a stock photo, I'm not gonna lie to you, but it illustrates my point well. So one time as a family, we were driving in northern Thailand and we had borrowed a friend's pickup truck because we knew that some of the roads that we were gonna go up were not, our car is a four-cylinder, they call it an urban people mover, which I really just think car companies are making up names for things now, but it would not make it up the roads of northern Thailand. So we're in this pickup truck and there's another pickup truck in front of us because a few years ago, the government of Thailand subsidized pickup trucks because there is no problem in life that a pickup truck can't fix. Right? Thank you. You get it. Yeah. 12 people that you need to take somewhere. There's no laws. There's no enforcement. Back of the pickup truck. Good to go. Right, guys? You spent a lot you spent a lot of time scaring your parents in the back of pickup trucks. It was awesome. 12 friends need to move. No problem. Pickup truck. You need to sell 400 coconuts on the streets of Bangkok. No problem. Throw them in the back of your pickup truck. Drive them into the city. Sell them from the back of said pickup truck. It's great. Couch you want to move? Pickup truck. Like, there's nothing you can't do with a pickup truck and loosely enforced road rules. Like, it's amazing and terrifying all at the same time. So we're driving along in our friend's pickup truck, and in front of us, of course, is another pickup truck. And what is in the back of this pickup truck? Cow, just like this guy. And they've built this metal frame, just like a four-post bed kind of looking thing, and they've strung just rope between it all, to act as some kind of faux fence to keep this guy in. And so we're driving along, and so I'm a Canadian driver, so I still somewhat follow rules. I haven't tie-ified that much yet. So I'm like waiting for a proper time to pass, which never came. So I was just like sitting behind this cow for the longest time, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, looking at him, and he's just chewing away, and I'm looking at him like, dude, nothing good ever happens to cows when you get moved. Like, there's never a good, like, you know what, cow's feeling kind of claustrophobic, let's take him for a country drive. Nothing good ever waits for a cow at the end of a road trip. That's science, it's a known fact. And I'm looking at him like, buddy, get going, get out of there. Just chewing, me looking at him, him looking at me, back and forth. And now I can like feel inside of me, like rise up, my bovine brother. Like, don't just accept your fate, you know? Don't you know those are just ropes? You have horns, like get out there, do something about this. You know, like I'm about to lead some kind of cow revolution of, you know, I have no idea, but like I can feel, I'm like getting worked up, you know, come on now. And he's chewing, looking at me while I'm looking at him, and he does nothing. He just sits there. And so finally I do pass him and I'm looking over at him like, I hope they turn you into steak. You don't deserve it. You know, you lazy cow, what do you know about life? You know, I'm judging him and all of his life choices. And I'm like, how does this powerful, powerful animal not understand that that's rope? That's just rope. And even at that, it's probably not even like high quality rope. Like he could be free living in the Thai countryside, building that lakeside cabin he's always wanted. Like it made no sense to me. And I was so annoyed, and clear as day, Holy Spirit in my like inner self was like, Matthew, you're the cow. And I was like, well, Holy Spirit, that felt unnecessary. That was harsh. And I was like, well, what do you mean? Like, let's unpack this whole you're a cow statement that you've just made. And Holy Spirit was very quickly like, Matthew, how many things in your life do you allow to look like big, tough things, impediments, things that stop you, and they're not actually things because you've forgotten who you are? And I was like, well, Holy Spirit, I'm making fun of a cow on a road trip. Like, that's a little heavy, don't you think? You know, a bit much. And Holy Spirit was like, you're the cow. You're absolutely the cow. And so that evening, as Holy Spirit likes to do to me, he and I were reading through the Bible, and I wrote it out in my notes. I just want to actually read that part to you, since making up the Bible is bad. So in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here, and all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And you're like, well, Matthew, I don't really understand how this connects to cows. And to be honest with you, I wasn't sure at first either. But Holy Spirit helps me out. He's good that way. One, it was that idea of identity. I'm a creation. I'm aware of that. I was created flawed. I'm also aware of that. Don't believe me? Ask Amber. Don't believe Amber? Talk to my mom. Like, it's there's a long history of flawed. I was made as a creation, but I didn't stay that way. I'm a new creation. And if you're a grammar geek like I am, it's okay. Be proud of that. But if you're a grammar nerd, then know the fact that all these things here are present simple. The tenses are be. It is. It's not like you will be. There's no future implication. You are. It's done. Even if you want to get into verb tenses, which again, maybe you don't. But that idea of Paul uses a perfect verb. The idea of a perfect verb, because Slavic languages have this too, is the idea that the action is completed. It's not an incomplete action. It's not like, hey, maybe one day you will. It's be. It is. It absolutely is. It's be. We are new creations. Done. Be reconciled. Done. Not perfect. not instant stars, be reconciled, which basically is us coming to God. You see, Buddhists and Christians, we start in the same place. We recognize that as humans, we are flawed creations. And Christians, from there, we diverge and we say, you know what? We're flawed, and there's nothing we can do to right that on our own. That's it. But thank God, literally thank God, that he has made a way for us to overcome that flawed state, where a Buddhist is left with, you know what, I'm a flawed creation, but I'm probably this way because of the things I did in a past life. I am this way because of what I've done. And I'm going to try my very best. I'm going to make merit. I'm going to build good karma. We think we understand karma, but we don't. I'm going to make good karma to be able to balance it all out. And hopefully, hopefully, by the time I die, I've done more good than harm, so that when I come back next time around, I can do something better. It's a hopeless state of being. There's no guarantee in that. We agree on the fact that we start flawed, but literally the message of Christianity is that we are spared what we deserve through the sacrifice of Christ. Where a Buddhist says, I am not spared what I deserve. I will face the full extent of what I deserve. Here's hoping that somehow I can pull this off. It's a hopeless, hopeless worldview. It eats away at things like compassion and mercy, because people are where they are because they deserve it. I don't deserve to be on this stage. I'm not extra special. If you're looking at Amber and I as if we're somehow more gifted or capable than you are, then obviously you don't know us well enough. It is not that. We are here. We are where we are because God is who he is. Because the idea of not looking at what we're being, the opposite of that, is looking at what we're doing. And that builds a transactional faith, right? If I do this, I get that. And that doesn't work because, let's face it, sometimes really rude, jerk-faced people get promoted. Good things happen to bad people. And bad things happen to good people. And when we feel the rub against that, what we've lost sight of is the fact that we are about being and not doing. We are allowing a transactional worldview to seep in. I would make an awesome Buddhist. I would, because it makes sense to me. I don't get why the idiot in traffic makes it through the green light and I get stuck at the red light. I call all, you know, I'm like, dear Lord Jesus, why? You know, I have to wait 30 seconds. It's ridiculous. But those moments of rub reveal to me that I understand a transactional worldview. I don't understand the fact that I am reconciled. Present tense. Already, I struggle with the idea of 2 Corinthians 5. See, striving is rooted in one of two things, this idea of I'm going to pursue, I'm going to get, I'm going to balance out, I'm going to transact. This is striving. Striving is rooted in one of two things. One is entitlement. I deserve these things, so I'm going to work to get them because they're mine and I deserve them. Or striving is rooted in this idea of absolute hopelessness. I'm not enough, so I have something to prove. I have a chip on my shoulder, the hopelessness or the entitlement of striving. The reality is that we have every right to be who God has made us to be. Nothing more, nothing less than who God has made us to be. I get so annoyed at the cheesy Hallmark moments of like, be a better you. Me is lame to start with. I don't want to be a better, lamer me. Like, that doesn't sound great to me. You know, oh, just like, you know, I'm done with that. I want to be the version of me that God sees in me. I want to be the cow that doesn't look at the simple things in front of me and thinks, I'll settle. I'm good right where I am. I'm going to allow that to be. I want to be the one that remembers, you know what? I have horns and I'm like 500 pounds and I have hooves. I can do this now, present tense. Not because of who I am, because I'm transformed. I'm a new creation. That voice that reminds me of what I was, it's lying to me. Whether that voice comes from inside of me or out of somebody else's mouth or my social media feed or the commercials that tell me if I don't buy this product for my child, they'll be stupid or dead or both. You know, none of those things. Wherever that voice comes from, it's wrong. It's nothing but a smokescreen, a rope fence, trying to keep me in that place where God says to me already, just be reconciled. You are a new creation. You are transformed, not because of who you are, because I've done that for you. And I'm there like, but I haven't proven it yet, God. I haven't done enough. And he's like, yes, I know. That's why I took care of it through the work of my son. How many times do we allow those faux fences to keep us where we are, to remind us of what we were and not what we are? New creations, transformed and reconciled. And the part that I love here is that it's inclusive. There's the word therefore, which again, not to get all grammar weird, but therefore implies one thing has to lead to the other. You didn't eat your vegetables, therefore, no dessert. You were speeding, therefore, ticket. You relied on a ferry to get you to the island. Too soon. Okay. So, be reconciled. Be transformed. Accept it. Walk in the fact that it's not transactional. Be that. Therefore, we get to be part of this. We are part of God's ministry of reconciliation. We were reconciled, and then we're now reconciliators. Therefore, one leads to the other. And in fact, it goes on to say in verse 20, it's so bold as to say, we are ambassadors of Christ. I literally am the smartest Christian because I'm paid to be a Christian. How stellar is that, right? Like, they're like, hey, go and like tell people about Jesus and be nice and be kind. And I'm like, okay, great. Yeah, wonderful. I'm paid to be a Christian. Like, who does that? Thank you. And like, I don't even know what to say. I get to be an ambassador. Not because of anything I've pulled off, but because of who's pulled it off for me. And you get to be an ambassador, not because of anything you've done, but because of who you are in Christ. Missionary, ambassador, global worker, cross-cultural worker, call me whatever you want, but at the end of the day, collectively, we are in this as ambassadors, representations, voice pieces, mouthpieces of God. In different communities. We are all ambassadors. You want to be an excellent ambassador? You want to be a good representation of who Christ is? Then be everything and nothing less than what he's created you to be. A new creation, transformed and reconciled, not willing to be stopped by the faux fences, the past voices, the little whispers, the reminders of failures, the list that we all love to cultivate. All those things, and be what God has created you to be. The most wonderful thing that Amber and I have ever done is to say yes when God asks us to do stuff. Hey, would you go to Thailand? Man, that sounds hot. The people are short. The food scares me. Okay, yeah, I'm in. Yeah. I showed up. I have no clue what I'm doing most days. I think everybody's figured that out by now. No clue. But I'm willing to show up, and God's willing to be God. And it's amazing, amazing, when you allow God to be God, what things will happen. So I would encourage you, like, read through 2 Corinthians 5. Ask Holy Spirit, hey, Holy Spirit, what are those faux fences? Where am I forgetting that I'm a new creation? What's stopping me from being the kind of ambassador that you know I can be? Because it's easy to look at somebody else and be like, man, it's awesome that they did that. And Holy Spirit's there like, I have some intentions for you as well. If you'd look past those things, you can be your own bovine revolution. You can. That should be the hashtag. Can we hashtag sermons? Do we still do that? If you title this, if it goes online, bovine revolution, this is what I would like. Inspired just now. You can be that, not because of what you've done or not done or will do or won't do, because you are a new creation. I think we've said that so often, we forget how insanely powerful that statement actually is. Be a new creation. Watch what God will do, and I believe it's wonderful. I lied to you. I'm going to pray, and then you can come up after, but I just want to pray. It's good. Holy Spirit, you have heard the ramblings of a tall, white, bald guy at the front of a church. Probably more reflective of my own journey and Amber's journey, our journey collectively as a married couple and as a family. But deep in my heart, our desire is this for this church community. That we would not settle for the things that we see immediately in front of us. That we wouldn't allow other voices, the voices of lesser gods, to pull us away from the reality of who you've made us to be through your sacrifice, through your son, through your abilities. We are 110% indebted to you, and we recognize that that posture of indebtedness is not a burden, but rather a gift, and we wear it proudly, proudly. Who we are is not who we were, and who we will be has the potential to be even more because you are a God who is faithful, faithful. I ask that we would not be discouraged by big setbacks, little setbacks, that we wouldn't live with looking for an excuse. Oh, well, I stubbed my toe, so therefore God doesn't love me. We wouldn't live looking for an excuse, but still we would live with our eyes set on you. If God is for me, if God is for me. I pray that this valley, by extension this island, would be different because there are Christians, people who believe in you in this community. If it's not changed, if it's not different, we've missed the point on some level. You're not a God who does status quo. And so I pray that as people enter this valley, there would be a sense of like, man, there's something different here. Can't quite put my finger on it, don't quite understand what it is, but there would be an understanding that God is active and at work in the lives and hearts of people here. So I pray for this church, I pray that you would bless it and make it strong in every sense of the word, relationally, spiritually healthy, all those things, not for their own well-being, though hey, they're good people, so I know you'll take care of them too, but for the well-being of their community. They'll know your love by the way we love one another. So I pray for the vitality of this church. I pray for Pastor Chad and just all things new in leadership. My goodness, I know what it's like to be new in a new place. I pray for wisdom and direction, open hearts all across the board. I pray for the kids ministry here. I don't even know why. But there's something about kids, about future. I just ask the kids ministry wouldn't be an in the basement, out of sight, out of mind. We send them down, and as long as we send down 20 and 20 come back up, then hey, it's been a success. That we really would understand your love for children and their place in our community. And so I pray for the kids' workers. I pray that you keep them healthy and strong. Kids are full of diseases, so I pray just for the health and well-being of them. But I do pray that you would just give this church a heart for kids and an understanding that an investment in future involves investing in those younger than us. Holy Spirit, I thank you so much that as we get on a plane on Tuesday, I don't have to worry. I trust Canada to you. I trust my home nation to your work and your hands. It's actually yours to start with. And you choose to involve us in the work of your kingdom, and we're grateful for that. And having been here, I can rest a little bit easier knowing that there's a group of people who love you well and are present here. And so thank you for that gift to Amber and I as well. A human face to a divine kingdom. We're grateful for that. I pray that as we go back to Thailand, you would continue to help us be a part of your kingdom. It's not about us. You're at work. We get to be a part of it. And so thanks that from Koh Mox to Bangkok, we get to be connected through your family, your Holy Spirit. We're so very, very grateful. So Jesus, we pause and we just say that we love you. We're thankful for you. We couldn't do this without you, nor would we want to. So thank you for looking at us, flaws and all, and saying, yeah, I choose you to be part of the work of my kingdom. So today, I pray that as we go, we wouldn't leave the same. That defeats the purpose of spending time with you. We don't walk out the other side of it the same. I pray that we'd buy lots of hot dogs and send youth to History Maker, knowing that their presence there is important too. We thank you for all the ways that you take care of us. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name, because we believe it's powerful. In your name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Koh Mox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.